And welcome back to another wonderful season of Punchlines and Politics. Once again, I am Brayden.
And I'm Josh.
We are back. Brand new season.
Season two.
Brand new us. Guess what we're doing right now? We're in the same room together.
That's right. Season two of Punchlines and Politics will be in person. I'm finally home from college, so.
In person, twice as much us. And twice as less comedy.
Now they're gonna stop listening.
We're not funny anymore. It's over. Sorry guys. We're just gonna be called Politics from now on. Listen to us.
This is the new pilot, pilot two, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. We could be called Politics Two. We're gonna spell it with a K to sound cool.
We're gonna change the podcast name to Listen to Two Idiots Talk for roughly an hour.
Isn't that kind of what we already do though?
Yeah.
There we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. We are changing our name to Two Idiots Talking About Nothing for Hours. You didn't ask for it. We're giving you our opinion. It doesn't matter.
If this first episode of season two gets 20 likes, we will upload fully unedited episode.
Oh my god.
So you guys can hear all the behind the scenes that you don't hear normally.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And whole unedited, folks, that is just going to be torturous for you. Honestly, not us. We'll be fine.
Everyone.
If you decide to listen to it, God bless your soul.
If you like cringe.
If you like, yeah, this is exactly what it's going to be.
Okay, so we wanted to switch things up for season two. We're still going to talk about politics, and we're still going to try and make it funny. But we're not going to describe memes to you guys anymore.
That seemed gratuitous. even at the time, it seemed gratuitous, but we were kind of going, we were doing it for ourselves. And I remember saying it at the beginning of the first season, it was definitely just for us.
Like, yeah, and it was also because we were so far away. There wasn't a whole lot we could do with, there's only so much banter you can have. About 1,000 miles apart. So yeah,
I can't remember what he looks like 1,000 miles away. So now I can look at him and be like, oh, this man's ugly. All right.
Yeah, well, your political opinions are as ugly as you are, idiot.
And that means, my political opinions are really pretty. So girls, I'm single and ready to talk your ear off about politics.
He is single, but there's a reason.
And it's because I will talk your ear off about politics.
Okay, so we decided to pick, coming back, we wanted to pick a light topic, something that wasn't going to make you guys go too crazy. So we decided to pick warfare.
For the first episode of our new season, we decided to pick warfare.
Specifically proxy wars versus, what wars used to be and, how it's changing in the modern era.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into it.
So before we get into the actual, talk about what warfare was and what it's changed and how it's very political, I think we should define proxy war for people who don't know. So a proxy war is when a nation is fighting in a war without being directly tied to it. So by either financing it or sending troops there without, a nation's symbol or not publicly joining the combat.
So basically, going off of that, there are plenty of wars that are considered to be maybe even half proxy or partially proxy, whereas, let's be quite honest, actual flags were flown, and it was fought between two belligerents that absolutely wanted to go at each other's throats. That's not really in contest for a lot of these wars, specifically the Vietnam War. Many historians believe it to be a partial proxy war, simply because the Americans were directly involved in it, but not so much the Soviets. What the Americans were really fighting, what many of the anti-communist countries were fighting, was communism itself, which was very much so supported by the Soviet Union at the time. So you have these anti-communist countries fighting a pro-communist series of countries under the influence of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union sent like 250 troops. Like, that was it. It wasn't a whole lot. They sent basically nothing. But they financed and they gave weapons to the Viet Cong and those who were in support of North Vietnam and unified Vietnam. So when we talk about Vietnam War, we're going to kind of consider it a half proxy war because that's exactly what it was. But again, we want to make it very clear. The Americans were avid in their representation in that war. I mean, they were a huge part of that war, and quite honestly, many of the men who died were on the American side.
So before we get into all of this, I did want to say it was recently Memorial Day, and since we're talking about, you know, veterans, warfare, and stuff like that, I wanted to say that, you know, from both of us, a huge thank you to everyone who served. It's not an easy job, and the price of freedom is high, so thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. If you have a loved one, or if you know someone who has served, don't be afraid to go ahead and give them a quick shout-out, maybe even a hug, and just tell them how much you love them and appreciate their support and their love for this country.
So, like you said about the Vietnam War, I think it's interesting when a conflict between two nations happens and other nations get involved. And the two examples of that really are like a Vietnam-style conflict where there was two nations going at each other and nations backed them but weren't directly attacking each other. Like, during the Vietnam War, America wasn't bombing Russia. You know, they were just financing, providing troops, you know, going to Vietnam. Whereas when you look at a war like the World Wars, those people were actually fighting each other's nations. They were all involved. They were all attacking each other. So you can see how Vietnam really was a half proxy, to use Brayden's terminology, that, you know, it really does fit into that category.
Absolutely. And, you know, after Vietnam, you saw the rise of a lot of proxy wars, especially between two incredible superpowers, such as the Soviet Union and the United States. So after the Vietnam War, obviously, during the 80s and things like that, during the mid-70s and early 80s, you saw a lot of combat that wasn't exactly fought between the USSR and the United States. However, the U.S. was involved in many wars and many different battles over territory that was contested by communist and anti-communist forces. Whether or not you agree with the notion of proxy wars, it's something that happens, and it happens very often if you really look into it.
I think that, you know, not to stray too far off of topic, but I did want to relate this to politics, so it's not just, you know, people coming to hear about politics and us talking about war. But
unless you're into that.
I believe, yeah, if you're into that, let us know. Maybe we'll do some branch out from some other stuff. But I do believe that war has become more political than it has about anything else. It has become politics and it has become resources. And when it comes down to stuff like that, war can be used as a weapon of, like, manipulation more than it can be used as a weapon of destruction. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think the more modern type of warfare has become very political, very politically charged.
Political and hidden. I would say a lot of it is behind the scenes, too.
Absolutely. If you look at some of, if anyone understands, you know, what happened in Benghazi, for instance, I mean, that was a very well-known battle that, you know, was basically just U.S. Head honchos dropping the ball insanely hard. and that's a very casual way of putting it, but it's quite frankly very true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a perfect representation of how the United States government totally can drop the ball at any time and how politicized certain wars and certain battles can be.
Shout out John Krasinski. That was a great movie.
13 Hours was a good movie, yeah, but it was a real thing that happened, too.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a documentary. It's their actual stories.
You really shouted out John Krasinski instead of the actual guys?
Okay, back up.
I like it. John Krasinski, if you know those guys' names, you please shout them out for us.
Shout out, I mean, obviously, shout out to the people who were actually involved, but I was just shouting out John Krasinski for telling the truth about it and not allowing it to get buried like they wanted it to.
If you haven't already seen 13 Hours, please, 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 please go and watch it. It's a wonderful watch.
If you can't afford to rent it or anything like that, reach out. I'll rent it for you. It's that good.
It is that good, and it is that important for you to watch something like that simply because it really does expose the corruptness and the apathetic nature of the U.S. government, or any government for that reason.
It also shows the bravery that these people did. I mean, to stand, what, 8 men against hundreds?
Hundreds.
Is, you know, to relate it to something, we were talking about the 300 Spartans earlier. You know, it's the same kind of odds. To stand against overwhelming force, regardless of, you know, putting your personal self in danger, is exactly why, you know, why we're having this conversation. Because has war become political and these people sacrificing their lives, is it for a cause that, you know, really shouldn't call for that anymore? Is warfare different?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone who is fighting for what they believe in and they put themselves in a situation where they're almost, they're in almost certain death kind of situation, the bravery is unmatched. I mean, it really is something that is, it's really important for everyone to watch something like 13 Hours simply because you really do understand how brave some of the men and women who fight in our wars really are, and how apathetic our government is to their situation, simply because to them, sometimes individuals, despite their bravery and despite their faithfulness to our country, they are seen as just another number.
I will say, I'm not going to get into this, and I'm not going to talk about it after this because it doesn't deserve to be talked about. But when Biden and Kamala both said, just have a great long weekend instead of something to do with Memorial Day, that's an example of what we're talking about, how the sacrifice is diminished now because the wars that we're involved in, I would argue, are more political than they are about something that we believe in, like freedom or fighting for other places to be able to do what they want, you know, freedom across the thing, anti-communism, anything like that. I don't know, that really, you know, a lot of my family was military. A lot of other people's families are military.
A lot of my family is military.
Yeah, to know that their sacrifices weren't in vain is something that's important. And I feel like that people need to make sure that what we're fighting for is what we should be fighting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to touch on a little bit about the famous saying that Kamala had a couple weeks ago. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Veterans Day, these are days that are supporting and remembering those who fought in any war during America's long history. And, you know, just remembering the bravery of those who fought in it.
Not even just specifically those who died, just everyone who served along with those who have died.
Everyone who served and everyone who had died in that service. So yeah, we remember the men and women who served and those who died in that service to our country during these days. And you take time out of your day on these certain days to thank a loved one for their service, maybe remember those gone past, and also, you know, taking time out of your day to have a bit of, you know, sobriety, to be somber about those who have served and about the wars that they have fought in. And quite honestly, it is insulting to those who served in any single war throughout America's history when your vice president says enjoy the long weekend and totally doesn't even acknowledge the fact that there are men and women who died so that she could sit in that office. It is very insulting.
Mm. And along with those days, it is for somberness and it is for, you know, being aware of that. But it's also a day of, you know, of celebration. Like, you're able to grill with your families and spend time outdoors, getting off of work, setting off fireworks, you know, being as American or as whatever as you want to be, because those people gave their lives for your freedom to do that. You know, that's what they died for, is the freedom to have choices and to be alive and free and able to do whatever you want. And so, like I said, we won't waste any more of your time with that. It was just, we wanted to say something about that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also want to say that in recent years, I mean, wars are always technically politically charged. They are. In some way or another, they are going to be politically charged.
World War I started with the assassination of a political leader.
I mean, World War II basically started because World War I started, so...
Exactly.
I mean,
you can trace war back to the beginning of time and figure out how it was charged by the people who were in charge of the nation.
Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank, I mean, war is a... It's hell. War is hell. And you'll hear many people say that, but it's quite honestly true. It is not something to take lightly. It is not something to go into lightly either. It is something that you really need to take time and really understand if it's worth the loss of life. So wars, they shouldn't be taken lightly. They really shouldn't, because they're, quite frankly, they're fought by men, women, and honestly, even children sometimes. And it's a very, very sad thing to happen. You know, wars are not pretty. They're not full of glory. Like, quite honestly, it is hardly ever filled with glory. Sometimes wars were fought for that very purpose, was for the glory of a nation. But when it really comes to it, you are fighting for your country. Whenever you're in a war, you are fighting for your country and the morals and the wants and needs of your society. And if that's what it really boils down to, where's the glory in that?
Mm-hmm. My dad spent 35 years with the Veterans Affairs Hospital, which is something that veterans who come back from the war and who need support, whether with homelessness or, you know, they need help with a drug addiction or something like that, they can go there free of charge. And yeah, I've heard stories, obviously not specific stuff, but I've heard stories about these people who left being someone who was bright and full of energy and someone who had such a positive outlook on life and just wanted to do something good, and came back sullen and angry, and it changes you. It pushes you to something that, you know, you never want to be, and that you want to know that what you're fighting for is worth all the pain it costs. Because even if you don't die in war, you're never left perfectly fine. There's always scars.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, remembering and supporting those who fought Memorial Day, July 4th, and Veterans Day, even though this should be an everyday thing that you should be giving them, these people, your support, it is so important to have these days so that you can actually remember to do that. Because it marks it on the calendar, and you get off of work simply because there have been people before you who have died for your freedom. And that is huge.
And I want to say, when they say on those days, you know, I'm proud to be American, there's a reason why there's no terminology in front of the word American. That day it can mean I'm proud to be Asian American, I'm proud to be Hispanic American, proud to be African American. Yeah, you're proud to be an American. Your culture can define who you are. But regardless of it, you should be proud that you are who you are. You should be proud that you're here and you're able to voice, you know, your concerns against the government. You're able to protest for what you want. You're able to petition for what you believe is true. You know, you're proud to be here. And, you know, regardless of its flaws, you know, I'm sure that 99% of the people here are still proud to be here. You know, it's arguably one of the greatest nations on earth, simply for its ability to provide the freedom for whatever you could possibly want.
Exactly.
And is it perfect? No. But at least you have the right to speak out and demand change and to advocate for that change, to speak out like we're doing in this podcast, to be able to talk about what you believe is true, what you believe is right, you know, regardless of political belief. Even beyond political belief, if you want to, you know, talk about how you don't believe that the government's spending taxes right, you have the right to do that. And there's a lot of places on earth that you can't do that. Yeah, so that's what I mean when I say something like, you know, proud to be an American on those days. Like, I'm proud that I'm a part of the nation that fights for freedom, regardless of the mistakes that it's made. I'm acutely aware of what the government has done wrong, and there's a list as long as, you know, the constitution of those things.
As long as a CVS receipt.
Yeah. And there will never be a perfect nation. But I'm still proud to be a part of one that is at least trying to fight for the freedom of everyone, regardless of what it's done.
And you know what? The very fact that you're able to listen to this podcast and we're allowed to put on this podcast means that freedom has worked. And although it has its flaws, and our country obviously is extremely flawed, the bare fact is that freedom works and freedom can be accessed. And those who fought and died for freedom would be proud of what they see as far as freedom and rights go. I mean, we are at a place where we can say whatever we want and do whatever we want, obviously within reason, but like, there is a huge amount of freedom to that.
See our free speech episode to learn more about that.
That one was also sponsored by Freedom of Speech.
Sponsored by Raycon.
Sponsored by Raycon. Sponsored by Shadow Legends.
I feel like we need to reach out and say we're not actually sponsored by anyone.
We're not sponsored by these guys.
If you
want
to sponsor us, you can.
But. Sponsor us. This episode is sponsored by Honey. No, not the
website. We gotta be careful. The FCC could actually.
This is actual honey we're sponsored by. The makers of honey.
Dude, this bee came in my house and gave me a bunch of honey. Bee was
like, yo, bro, you want to make an episode? And we're like, of course.
It's the only reason we came back for season two.
Yeah, it's because some bee showed up in her house, gave us a wad of cash, and was like, sponsor. Here we go.
Even without a sponsor, Brayden and I are free to talk about what we want, no matter the topic. And no one can tell us that, oh, you're not allowed to talk about that, because we are.
Yeah,
we have the right to talk.
Guess what? We're also not sellouts, so if you try to sponsor us and tell us what to say, we would consider it, but we won't do it, probably.
The ad read will be written by me.
It's good. Yeah, let's just say if anyone's going to sell out, it'll be Josh.
That's not what I meant.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyways.
It's been a good enough time spent on this, so I think we're going to move to our next segment, which is something I've honestly been looking forward to. We talked about this a little bit earlier this week.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of randomly, honestly, it just kind of came up. We're like, oh, that'll fit with our warfare episode.
Bazinga, it's going to be the top five armies of all time.
Now, we're both kind of history nerds. We really like history. I'm a huge fan of ancient history, like, you know, ancient Greeks, Romans, even all the way back to, like, the beginning of time. You know, I love ancient history and ancient combat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of ancient things, kind of. I don't know how to put this. I mean, I just really like history. I mean, like, I don't really know what to say about that. That's kind of, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to make a list of the top five, like, fighting forces of all time throughout all of history. And, you know, obviously we're not perfect, so if we miss something or you think it should be different, let us know. But this is going to be solely based on whatever knowledge we have right now at this moment.
Yeah.
So I think what we should do is go back and forth at, like, a draft and just pick. Maybe we'll only do three each. I don't know. But
it'll be five.
Yeah, it'll be five. So we'll go back and forth. You'll pick your fifth favorite. I'll pick mine. They might be the same, so sorry. But
sorry.
We're just going to go back and forth, and we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
So, Brayden, you're with your first pick, the fifth best army of all time.
The first pick of the NBA draft.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored by NBA. NBA stands for
National Bowling Association
of America.
In
the A is silent.
The NCAA.
We're sponsored by the NCAA. Thanks for sponsoring
National
us.
Bowling Association.
We're both in college, right?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, there you go. Kazakhstan.
Okay, go ahead.
Whatever.
Your top five.
Yep,
your
top
fifth
five.
Pick.
All right, my number five pick of this warlike draft is going to be the Roman army.
Roman army.
And so that's the Roman Empire, so
the Legion.
Yeah, so this is going to be I'm going to say pre-out. It's going to be not the Holy Roman Empire. They were a bunch of wusses.
Okay, so my number five pick, I'm going to go with the Ottomans. They were the first to have gunpowder. They were the first to introduce guns in their warfare. So my first one's going to be the Ottomans.
Cool. I'm going to give a quick sentence describing why I think the Roman Empire had one of the best armies of all time. And that is simply because of their legions. Now, you think about think about the most mechanically sound machine and then make it into an army. That was the holy, no, not the holy, but the Roman Empire
before the Holy Roman. Yeah.
The legions, they were insane. I mean, every single rank knew exactly what they were doing at all times, and they conquered more than you and I could even, like, mark out in a freaking map in one day. Like,
but yeah, the Roman Legion was the ultimate showing of cooperation and trust. I mean, it was, like Brayden said, like a perfectly working machine. It was quite honestly awesome.
It was awesome.
All right, so number four.
Well, no, you have to give a sentence describing the
Ottoman. Gunpowder and guns.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go number four. So number four, I am going to have the Viking hordes. Now, the Viking hordes, it's something that's really, really, like, it's tough to quantify because we don't really know how many came at one point because they were all part of different clans and things like that until they were unified. And let's just be honest. Those guys, they knew what they were doing. I mean, they found America first, technically. So, if nothing else, they were the ones that should be credited with finding the new lands. And honestly, let's be quite frank. Their ability to come in and absolutely kick some hiney in Britain, a place that they hadn't been before, they're just like, hey, we should go somewhere. Let's go here.
Shout out Valhalla. Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but we should be.
Yeah, honestly, some of the best Odyssey players right here, so keep that in mind, Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft. Sponsor.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Not sponsored.
FCC, don't come take us.
Please, no.
Okay, so my number four draft pick, and, you know, this one, I say with a bit of self-pride.
Just a bit.
And a little bit of, like, yeah, you know what? I will pick that. And we kind of talked about it already. I'm going to pick the 13 colonies. Solely for the fact that they took down an empire with, like, muskets and farming, like, farmer training. So,
and the French army. So,
well, yeah, but, like, overall, I'm going to say that what I would say is one of the first instances of, like, modernized guerrilla warfare.
Granola warfare. I like to see that.
Okay, so I meant modernized guerrilla warfare, which is, you know, with more of, like, guns and stuff like that. So that's going to be my number four pick.
Very cool. Number four pick's good. All right. With the number three pick in this really strange draft, I am going to go with the ancient Spartan army. And here's why. Here's why. The Spartans, if you had to go and find the most vicious men of all time and breed them with the most vicious women of all time, you would breed a Spartan. These guys knew exactly what they were doing. They were basically trained from birth. And if you weren't good enough, then you would just die during training because they would literally throw you into a wolf's den and say, hey, go fight them. And if you come out alive, then you're good. This is when they're
super brutal.
They're like at 8 years old when they do that.
It's very brutal and probably child abuse in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Guess who didn't care?
Like, this was a society that was both extremely developed for its time, but also it was before, you know, all these laws and stuff were in place. You know, it was a different time.
And let's not forget about the Battle of the 300. Like, come on. 300 Spartans versus, like,
10,000 Persians.
10,000 Persians. And they kept them from entering Greece. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do have to admit, like, I really like Greek history. It's very, very cool. If you get a chance, you should really look into it because it's quite honestly very
play Odyssey. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was
it
really
walks
good.
You through history. It was
it's a good video game to do if you want to learn more about Greek history. But quite honestly, regardless, Spartan army, unparalleled in their vigor.
Mm-hmm. So my number three is going to be one already mentioned. That's going to be the Roman Legion. I think that they're arguably one of the best. I would say top three, solely for the fact that it took years and years of training and people analyzing what they did in order to find a way to maybe match them in battle. It was ridiculous because they didn't even use that complicated weapons. They had short swords and shields, whereas other nations would have these complicated, expensive weapons, and the Romans would still wipe the board with them. It was, you know, just unparalleled.
Mm-hmm. For number two, I am going to go with the ancient Greek army of Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great, for anyone who doesn't know this mamma jamma,
greatest
general of all time, backed by one of the greatest armies ever forged.
Was that Byzantine Greeks or pre-Byzantine Greeks? Fact check us, because I don't know.
I don't remember. If you're better at history than us,
yeah, tweet us. Take if our I'm job.
Wrong. Yeah, take our job. At least my job, anyway.
I want to retire.
I want to. Yeah, can you give me a pension? Again, not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Not sponsored.
We're not sponsored by the FCC or I don't know how you're gonna get
Mr. FCC. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. What did I do to you? If you are
you mentioned Raycon once.
If you're from the Social Security Administration, sponsor us.
I'm dead. Where are my checks?
So basically, I want to just say about them. I mean, there's a lot of things I can't explain.
You don't even need to. Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. There's a reason he has the Great at the end of his name. Like, come on.
So my number two draft pick, kind of already mentioned in this too. I'm going to say the Persians. They mustered up one of the biggest fighting forces of all time. You know, they swept through a lot of, you know, the areas in the Middle East down to like Italy and Greece. Eventually they did conquer Athens and they did put down the Spartans. Shout out Spartans for taking down almost 10,000 of them first. But, you know, obviously in the end they did end up conquering them. So I would put them at the number two slot for me.
And now it's time for our number ones. These number ones, they're just what we consider to be the best of all time.
And again, this is an opinion. You might have something different, but.
Quick honorable mention before I go into my number one, and that is the U.S. Fighting Force. So I'm not really talking about the army per se, but the fighting force of the current modern U.S. Army. And that is, I'm talking like Delta Force, Navy SEALs, U.S. Marines. These guys are sharp. These guys and ladies are very sharp. And let's be quite honest, like they kick some major hiney.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I would put them in top five simply because, I mean,
we're looking at all of history.
It's all of history, and our modern day is new. Duh.
Well, so, it's also different. I mean, back then it was toe to toe, you know, boot to boot, sword to sword. Now it's more, you know, long range drone stuff like that. So this is just generally we're looking more in the past than we are now.
For season 77, when we're like 90, we're going to come back to this and we're gonna figure out if the U.S. actually decide, like if we decided the U.S. needs to be in this conversation.
Oh my God, I swear if we still have this season after, or show after 77.
Season 2, episode 7,000.
Season 2 never ends. But my honorable mention that I wanted to put out there is the samurai.
Okay.
The standalone Japanese warrior, you know. Incredible, you know, with the quality of their weapon and the precision and accuracy of they were trained, you know, in a one-to-one combat, I would take a samurai over any other soldier.
Number one for Braden, Patricia Blamathan.
That's not his name.
Look me up. Blamathan. It's B-L-A-M-A-T-H-A-N.
We're gonna dox him.
A-T-H-A-N Blamathan.
I'm doxing my partner.
Don't dox me.
Here's his address.
So my number one is going to be, and this is, I'm a little bit biased here, but you know, whatever. Just because, you know, he's my great, 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 I think, granddad. But I'm related to him. Attila the Hun and the Huns. Those dudes. That was an army that could stare into the abyss and the abyss would probably cry. They are the definition of a black hole in motion. Everything that dared come into their way was just enveloped and ceased to exist. If there was another force that could absolutely obliterate matter, it was the Huns. And I am lucky enough to be a relative, a very distant relative, to the limb stretcher himself.
I think like 1/8 of the population is related to him. Because yeah, he had so many kids.
He did have a lot of kids, but 1/8? Come on.
Look it up. Actually, Brayden, fact check this right now for us.
No. I'm related to him, okay? My family...
No, like, I'm serious. If you look it up... No, that's Genghis Khan. I'm sorry. That's Genghis Khan. I was mistaken.
Haha. Attila the Hun also had a lot of kids, so... I'm one of them.
Genghis Khan is the one that had a huge effect on the population and global warming and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, anyways. So, Attila the Hun, very cool. Hey, granddad.
It's not his granddad.
It might be. You don't know.
I've met his grandfather.
Great granddad. Attila the Hun, you're great. If, for all of you that don't know, I'm Hungarian. Like, my family is Hungarian. So it makes sense. I'm not lying. I swear.
Okay.
Babushka.
Moving on. That's Russian.
Shut up. Goulash. I don't know. Yeah, goulash.
That's Hungarian. That's Hungarian. Okay, so moving. So my number one is going to be, and this is one Brayden already mentioned, but I'm going to pick the Spartans. Solely because of, you know, the story of the 300 is one of the greatest battles of all time. You know, King Leonidas and 300 men stood against the Persians in this, you know, valley between two cliffs. It was the only way to get to Sparta and then eventually Athens, which was the heart of Greece at the time. And he stood there and took 10,000 Persians. I mean, they were all killed in the end. But it took, what are the odds of that? Like 100 to 1? To take them all down and to get past them. So, obviously, 300 Spartans, number one for me.
To kind of finish out today's episode, which I thought was a pretty good episode, if you guys liked it or if you like this kind of content, don't be afraid to give us a quick Twitter shout-out.
If you like the old version, too, let us know. We're experimenting with some new styles. We're going to see what we like the most. But, you know, if you think that we are... you know, better with the old format, just let us know. If you think that you like this one better, just keep us in the loop. You know, we'll do our best to make sure that we, you know, both cater to you and do what we think is best.
But if we don't like what you have to say, then we're going to not do that. So
yeah, because, you know,
Brayden, we're not sponsored by you yet.
Brayden thinks he's always right. So.
I'm always right until I get sponsored and we're you tell sponsored. Me what to do. If you tell me what to do and you give me money.
Right now, we're sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, we're sponsoring. We make the choices. So if you give us money, I will say whatever you want me to say on
okay,
live
so
TV.
Okay, so now who's the sellout?
I will literally say that there are like chamomile implants in my kidneys. I don't care.
Do you know what a chamomile is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Flower.
All right. All right, you've passed. You have flour implants in your kidneys.
Why not? Yeah, making bread.
Okay, so next week we have some good things planned, and you know I'm excited for next week. We might even do it more common now that we're back home and it's a lot easier. So you might be seeing a lot more episodes come up than you thought. So stay tuned. We're gonna keep going with this podcast as long as you guys keep listening. Make sure you follow our Twitter at @andpunchlines. Again, that's @andpunchlines.
So that's A-N-D, and then the word punchlines.
I post a tweet every time an episode goes live. So, you know, whenever I finish editing, the first thing I do is tweet out a link with that episode on it. So
if you want us to tweet more often, we will, but, you know, sparingly because we don't care.
Brayden hates Twitter, so.
I don't like Twitter. I was running the Twitter account for a while. That place is a cesspool. I'm sorry. It is a cesspool.
Didn't you tag Mike Pence in a tweet you did?
I tagged Mike Pence and Kamala Harris.
Okay, so thanks for listening, everyone. Again, let us know if you like this format better. We are going to experiment with just trying to be a little bit more funny in the whole show instead of just making a segment for it. But thank you for everyone who was, you know, reaching out and asking when this was going to happen again. We're back. Heck yeah.
Heck, we're back.
I'm back. So
Shady's back.
So yeah, stay tuned. We might be having a YouTube coming soon. We might be starting to record the podcast, just like videoing it too, as well as doing the audio, so that, you know, it can have a little bit more personal feel. And face if you, reveal. If you guys have topics that you want to talk about, feel free to reach out. You know, we will talk about almost anything, you know, within reason. So
no, not within reason. We will talk about anything you want us to. If you want us to do a podcast on pears, we will. It won't be very long. It'll be like 30 seconds. We're like, what do you think about pears? You're like, I like them. Yeah, they're sweet. Like, I don't think they're great. And then it's going to be over.
But yeah, just reach out. I mean, we're more than willing to talk about these things. If you have a guest in mind, either one that's been on already or, you know, anything like that, let us know. Ethan will be coming back soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that. We might be having Bryce Brown back on the show. He was the one in our political parties podcast. So just stay tuned. We have a lot of interesting people that are, you know, around and easy to access now. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Catch us next week. Stay tuned on Twitter. You might be able to see an episode sooner than that. Like I said, we're back in the same area now, so we're going to be able to record a lot easier. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. See you later.